वंश कपजुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितरं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। Continuing with the description of the rainy season in Sri Vrindavan during the time of Krishna's pastimes. And this description is to set the scene so we can understand the beautiful atmosphere in which Krishna's pastimes were taking place. And this beautiful atmosphere is serving Krishna. Everything is serving Krishna in Vrindavan. And as soon as we totally, 100% also wish to serve Krishna, then we also can be in Goloka Vrindavan if we so desire. So along with these descriptions, there are metaphors which compare the different symptoms of the rainy season with different items that we are hearing about one by one. Does anyone remember any of them from yesterday, that we heard yesterday?
The blue sky.
The blue sky is covered by the, which are like? The? Yeah, the clouds, the mode of ignorance, covering the naturally illuminated consciousness of the soul. Anyone remember any of the others? The what? Yes. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yes. Lightning, because lightning illuminates. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Without getting rain, we like the government and tax
them. Yes. Supposed to be like the government and the tax. We have to say something like that. Yes. The sun draws the moisture from the earth, and then it stores it in the clouds, then returns it in the form of rain when it is needed. Similarly, the government extracts its taxes and then returns that money that it collected for the welfare of the citizens. Thank you. Anyone else remember one? I think there were four. We got to take three or four. The fourth one was the dense blue clouds accompanied by lightning and thunder. Thus the sky and its natural illumination were covered in the same way that the spirit soul is covered by the three modes of material nature. Fifth, with its rays, the sun had for 8 months drunk up the earth's wealth in the form of water. Now the proper time had arrived. The sun began releasing this accumulated wealth. Flashing with lightning, great clouds were shaken and swept about by fierce winds. Just like merciful persons, the clouds gave their lives for the pleasure of this world. That was the last one. When the cloud gives its rain, and then there's nothing left of the cloud. So similarly, a person can be so merciful that he gives himself to the world and has nothing left for himself. How do you think Krishna treats such a person who is so selfless in his service? When he gives everything in Krishna's service, Krishna gives everything to such a person, even himself. And now text 7. The earth had been emaciated by the summer heat, but she became fully nourished again when moistened by the god of rain. Thus the earth was like a person whose body had been emaciated by austerities undergone for a material purpose, but who again becomes fully nourished when he achieves the fruit of those austerities. So this is one of the negative examples, the ones that we shouldn't follow, not suitable for those wishing to advance in Krishna consciousness. Because by austerities, any kind of austerities in Krishna consciousness means acts done to please Krishna. But any type of austerities that we place, that we have to control the mind and place our own, our mental desires or physical desires, place those to the side while trying to accomplish something or please another, then such austerities, when the fruit comes for those austerities, some benefit comes, one should not take that and become fatty. Take those for one's sense enjoyment. So this will be explained. Prabhupada's purport, or actually the purport here, quotes Prabhupada from the Krishna book. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. So this is about austerities, and one becomes lean performing austerities, and then when the fruit of one of those austerities come, he becomes nourished, fully nourished. Prabhupada comments, before the rainfall, the whole surface of the globe becomes almost depleted of all kinds of energies and appears very lean after the rainfall. Hark, I do believe the rain is falling. The whole surface of the earth becomes green with vegetation and appears very healthy and strong. Here a comparison is made to a person undergoing austerities for fulfillment of a material desire. The flourishing condition of the earth after a rainy season is compared to the fulfillment of material desires. Sometimes when a country is subjugated by the undesirable government, persons and parties undergo severe penances and austerities to gain control of the government. And Prabhupada himself saw this during the time of the British rule, and the Congress Party had its policy of non-cooperation with the British. Move it off to the side, perhaps. I don't know if that's the problem, but it may be. Yes, they performed. There was fasting, and Gandhi was put into the prison, and fasting, and people were shot, and they protest, and there would be so many, but non-cooperation, giving up their jobs in connection with the British government, not purchasing anything produced in England, and then they gained control. Eventually, they drove the British out, or the British left. And then what happened? Sometimes when a country is subjugated by an undesirable government, persons and parties undergo severe penances and austerities to get control of the government. And when they attain control, they flourish by giving themselves generous salaries. So they didn't like the way that the others exploited, and they performed austerities to remove those who were exploiting, and then they themselves exploit. This is also like the flourishing of the earth in the rainy season. Actually, one should undergo severe austerities and penances only to achieve spiritual happiness. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shudye. The heart should be purified. Brahma sokyam twanantam. For a purpose of attaining the highest unending happiness of spiritual life. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is recommended that tapasya, or austerity, should be accepted only for realizing the Supreme Lord. By accepting austerities in devotional service, one regains his spiritual life, and as soon as one regains his spiritual life, he enjoys unlimited spiritual bliss. But if someone undertakes austerities and penances for some material gain, then, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the results are temporary and are desired only by persons of less intelligence, of a Shuddha Buddhaya. So what was that compared to the earth flourishing again after being sucked dry by the sun for so many months? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also has a comment in that text. In this verse, the earth being dried up by the sun is compared to a tapasi, a person doing austerities. A tapasvi is rewarded by the demigods. The earth becomes sprinkled with showers of rain, just as the body of a tapasvi becomes nourished by the demigods. As the body of a person desiring material results becomes healthy on fulfilling his desires, so the earth becomes nourished by the rains. This example, however, is repugnant to the devotee striving for the ultimate goal. It is not favorable that to perform austerities to gain material pleasures, because austerities should be performed only for realizing the Supreme Lord, not for anything else, only for Krishna's pleasure. Let me do this so that Krishna will be pleased. Text 8. In the evening twilight during the rainy season, the darkness allowed the glowworms, but not the stars, to shine forth. Why weren't the stars shining forth? Covered by the clouds. So the glowworms come out. And what do glowworms do? Are there glowworms in Perth? You haven't been to all of Australia yet, obviously. Yeah, okay, next time. Don't worry. Yeah, in the United States they have them also. Huh? New Zealand. Kiwi. New Zealand ones, they play the fiddle also, don't they? The violin. They're special. Perhaps. Maybe not. So what is this going to be compared to? There's no shining of stars, but there's glowworms in the evening twilight during the rainy season. And the comparison is just as in the age of Kali, the predominance of sinful activities allows atheistic doctrines to overshadow the true knowledge of the Vedas. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. This is another negative example. During the rainy season, in the evening, there are many glowworms visible up about the tops of trees, hither and thither, and they glitter just like lights. But the luminaries of the sky, the stars and the moon, are not visible. Similarly, in the age of Kali, persons who are atheists or miscreants become very prominently visible, whereas persons who are actually following the Vedic principles for spiritual emancipation are practically obscured. Emancipation, excuse me. This age, Kali Yuga, is compared to the cloudy season of the living entities. In this age, real knowledge is covered by the influence of the material advancement of civilization. Yes. The cheap mental speculators, atheists, and manufacturers of so-called religious principles become prominent, like the glowworms, where a person's spirit strictly following the Vedic principles or scriptural injunctions become covered by the clouds of this age. People should learn to take advantage of the actual luminaries of the sky, the sun, moon, and stars, instead of the glowworms' light. Actually, the glowworms cannot give any light in the darkness of night. Glowworms, they give a little bit of a glow, but if you wish to actually see something illuminated, you can see something by the moonlight, you can see something by the sunlight, but you cannot see anything by the glowworm light. They'll just give off a faint glow. They cannot truly help one's vision. And that's compared to? Atheistic doctrines, does the glowworm like persons who establish false principles of religion, etc. As clouds sometimes clear even in the rainy season, and the moon, stars, and sun become visible, so even in this Kali Yuga there are sometimes advantages. The Vedic movement of Lord Chaitanya, the distributor of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, is understood in this way. People seriously anxious to find real life should take advantage of this movement instead of looking towards the so-called light of mental speculators and atheists. And taking advantage of this movement means taking advantage of hearing the chanting process that the Krishna consciousness movement offers, and also the process of being engaged in Krishna service. and also the prasada. But especially the hearing and chanting. Tandera charan sevi bhakti sane vas janame janame hoy eyavidas. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that which is false that shines in Kali Yuga is atheistical shastras or scriptures that present non-theistical points and even impersonalist points, viewpoints, completely prominent. Text 9. The frogs, now we shall hear about the frogs, who had all along been lying silent, and this is really true in Vrindavan. Frog in Mandak, is it? Mandak, yes?
Bang.
That's Bengali. In Hindi, Mandak. Mandak? Yes? Mandak. 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 You don't understand Hindi spoken with a Brooklyn accent. Mandak. Frog. They're everywhere. They come out in the rainy season, also in Perth. The frogs, who had all along been lying silent, suddenly began croaking when they heard the rumbling of the rain clouds, in the same way that Brahmana students, while performing their morning duties in silence, begin reciting their lessons when called by their teacher. This is a positive example, one that should be followed. Srila Prabhupada comments, this is favorable for brahmacharis to emulate, getting up early, remaining silent, and when it's time to, they're called forth to sing and recite verses and let their lessons, then they don't croak, but they say little shastra. Prabhupada comments, after the first rainfall, when there is a thundering sound in the clouds, all the frogs begin to croak, like students suddenly engaged in reading their studies. Students are generally supposed to rise early in the morning. Not in Kali Yuga. If anyone has been to the university, did the students, you've been there, did the students in, where did you go? UWA? Yeah. Well, did everyone get up early in the morning? Huh? Oh. I remember when I went to school, I know some of them didn't get up early in the morning. They were too busy staying up very late at night. The students are generally supposed to rise early in the morning. They do not usually arise of their own accord, however, but only when there is a bell sounded in the temple or the cultural institution. By the order of the spiritual master, they immediately arise, obediently. And after finishing their morning duties, they sit down to study the Vedas or chant the Vedic mantras. Similarly, everyone is sleeping in the darkness of Kali Yuga. But when there is a greater charger, by his calling only, everyone takes to the study of the Vedas to acquire actual knowledge. And what is this, the speciality of the Vedic knowledge? Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedes chasavar aham eva vidyo. This is the ultimate point of the Vedic knowledge, that Krishna is to be known. And in other scriptures, one doesn't find generally very clear knowledge of that we are not the body, that we are souls, that we're eternal, and we transmigrate from body to body according to our consciousness that we've developed in our life, and especially at the time of death. And if one develops love for Krishna, and the example given in the Bhagavatam first canto is of Narada Muni, then just as lightning and thunder, when the lightning is very close, if you are very close to the lightning, or when you are far away from the lightning, it appears, because light and thunder and sound travel at different speeds, it appears that First there's lightning, and then after some time there's thunder. But actually, the moment there is lightning, there is also thunder. So just as lightning and thunder simultaneously appear, if one has perfected one's consciousness, when one leaves this body, commonly known as death, instantaneously, simultaneously, one develops one's spiritual body. This is described in the pastime of Narada Muni. So this is clearly explained in the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. But in no other scripture is this very, in one sense, simple distinction between matter and spirit is made. Text 10. With the advent of the rainy season, the insignificant streams, which had become dry, begin to swell and then strayed from their proper courses, like the body, property, and money of a man controlled by the urges of his senses. Who can explain that in their own words? I'll read it again. With the advent of the rainy season, the insignificant streams, which had become dry, began to swell and then strayed from their proper courses, like the body, property, and money of a man controlled by the urges of his senses. Who can explain that in their own words?
The body could be made of man meant to be used in service of Krishna. When he's controlled by his senses, they strayed from the proper course.
Yes. Or to be restrained or follow a proper course, a Shastra course. Because adyantivantikante anate su ramate Buddha, because dukkha yona evate, they are to engage the senses with the sense objects, even though there's an attraction for the senses. Raga dvesho vyavastita tarya na vasan agacet taryasya paripantana. So the attraction for the sense object is there, but they're dukkha yona devate, they're sources of misery, and therefore the wise man does not delight in them, because paripantana means they're stumbling blocks. This is a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. So even so, the stream, the body of the bed of the stream should control the path that the water flows. But when it is full of desires, full of water, then it overflows and goes wherever way it wants. And that means trouble. Prabhupada comments. During the rainy season, many small ponds, lakes, and rivulets become filled with water. Otherwise, the rest of the year, they remain dry. Similarly, materialistic persons are dry. But sometimes, when they're in a so-called opulent position, with a home or children or a little bank balance, they appear to be flourishing. But immediately afterwards, they become dry again, like the small rivulets and ponds, like Bennett Creek, near where we live. Huh? Bennett Springs. Bennett Springs, not very often, only in the rainy season. The poet Vidyapati said, in the society of friends, family, children, wife, and so on, there is certainly some pleasure, but that pleasure is compared to a drop of water in the desert. Everyone is hankering after happiness. Just as in the desert, everyone is hankering after water. If in the desert there is a drop of water, the water is there, of course, but the benefit from that drop of water is very insignificant. In our materialistic way of life, we are hankering after an ocean of happiness. But in the form of society, friends, and mundane love, we are getting no more than a drop of water. Our satisfaction is never achieved. as the small rivulets, lake, and ponds are never filled with water in the dry season. And the dry season must come. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on text 10 as follows. As the rivers swell with water in the rainy season, they cause disturbance to others because they become difficult to cross. For one who acts independently, svatantrasya, without following scriptural rules, his body, property, and money become a source of disturbance for others. This is a negative example, one that one should not follow. Because soon as in the material world, soon as one... How is that true? How does one... One could think of it in a gross way. If I become powerful, if someone has... If someone is my enemy, I will crush them. But what is another way that if one becomes wealthy and powerful, one causes trouble to others in a simple way and practically an unavoidable way? Yeah, because you build your house twice as tall as your neighbor's house and he burns with envy. You have succeeded more than him. Your car is newer and faster. Your carpet is thicker. Your, what else? Yeah, I said that one. What else is there?
You get in the first class.
Yeah, you sit in the first class, and everyone walks back, has to walk past you. You can put your nose in the air. What other things can we do?
Swimming pool.
Swimming pool. Big, big hard drive on your computer. So big.
Attractive woman as well.
Yes.
Huh?
No one has a mobile phone. It's actually Tirthiraj Prabhu's phone. It's a mobile phone almost, because it sounds just like a cow. Not even Nitai Prem Prabhu's mobile phone can do that. Yes? Huh? Yes. Like a cow. And your mobile phone can also show movies and also act as a motorcycle. Not yet, but soon. And then everyone gets envious. Oh, you see his mobile phone? Motorcycle. And a helicopter, too. So, in this way, just by our enjoyment and using our wealth to enjoy, we cause trouble to others, because envy causes so much pain in the heart. And when one is envious, one cannot be happy. There's a famous story that you probably all heard, but I'll tell it anyway. That this man, he was given the benediction that he could have. He was living next door to his, he had a man living next door, and they were always competing who would be more wealthy, who would have more. One person would build something, the other person would build something a little more, one person would get a fast car, the other person would get a faster car. They were competing like this. So one of the men, he got a benediction that he could have whatever he want. And the other man, he also got a benediction, his neighbor, that whatever his neighbor got, he would get twice as much. So the first man thought, now this is my chance to win. So he thought, I want a swimming pool as big as a lake. And suddenly, boom, he had a swimming pool as big as a lake. And then, boom, the other one, his friend, his neighbor had a swimming pool as big as two lakes. And he looked at it, he was so upset. So he said, I want a house with 32 rooms in it. Boom! And then boom, 64 rooms. And he was so upset. And then he thought and thought and thought. What should wish that I lose one of my eyes and I can't see. Boom! Then he was happy. That's envy. That's envy. You're willing to cause yourself so much trouble to give trouble, more trouble to others. You never heard that story before? It was passing around on the ISKCON class giving circuit quite a few years ago. So it was joined after. So, yeah. Okay. So another 7 years. And you'll be able to tell that story. Text 11. The newly grown grass may be the earth emerald green. Whose color complexion is the newly grown grass compared to? Lord Rama. Yes? Is that what he said? The newly grown grass made the earth emerald green. The Indragopa insects added a reddish hue. Little bugs that you see in Vrindavan, reddish color and you see in the rainy season. And white mushrooms added further color and circles of shade. Thus the earth appeared like a person who has suddenly become rich. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami comments that the word Nrinam indicates men of the royal order. Thus the colorful display of dark green fields decorated with bright red insects and white mushroom umbrellas can be compared to a royal parade displaying the military strength of a king. And Srila Sridhar Swami has a comment here. Text 11. So what a scene the Vrindavan forest was, with the rivers flowing, the clouds in the sky, the lightning, the thunder, the emerald green grass, the reddish colored bugs and the mushrooms coming up. What a wonderfully beautiful, picturesque scene. And Sanatana Goswami comments, Indragopai means by the particular insects which take birth after the first rain and grow excessively in numbers and are known here in Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami says, by the name of Buddha. The paraphernalia of great controllers or their clothing ornaments and so on have the colors of greenish blue, etc. Similarly, the earth displays these colors. 12. With their wealth of grains, the fields gave joy to the farmers. But those fields create remorse in the heart of those who are too proud to engage in farming and who fail to understand how everything is under the control of the Supreme. See the Jiva Goswami comments here. 6:12. Of those who do not understand that things are under the control of destiny and are therefore falsely proud, who are steeped in egotism and possessiveness, for such farmers, the fields give, by the respective presence or absence of the opulence of grains, joy and remorse. So if there's a good year and so much grains are produced, if one doesn't accept this is Krishna's mercy, simply and easily, then one feels great remorse and misery and lamentation. And similarly, on the other side, if there is a good rain and a good crop, and there is abundance in the fields, if one doesn't say Krishna's mercy, one will feel excessive happiness, jubilation, and greed will come. And then, for sure, if greed comes, then remorse will come. If jubilation comes, then remorse will come. Misery will come. But if one simply accepts whatever comes to one as Krishna's mercy, and accepts that this is product, I deserve worse for the miserable, and I don't deserve this happiness, but by God's grace, it's coming to me. And then Jivateo Mukti Pade Sadaya. If a person has this consciousness, accepts the difficulties of life as Krishna's blessings on me, I deserve worse. Who can say that I don't deserve this bad thing that's happened to me? Who can say I've never done anything wrong, improper, and don't deserve any punishment in any way, any karma, any reactions? Who can say that? And Krishna so kindly has minimized what I deserve. And on the other hand, who can say that one deserves something good right now? Because say if one kills a cow one time, one has to take how many births? If you take part in cow killing, as many births as there are hairs on that cow. So say a person does something horrendous like that, and it takes him, say, an hour. And he gets, from that hour's work or activity, he gets millions and millions and millions and millions of years of karma. For an hour's work, for an hour's worth of activity. So in this one life, how many millions of years of karma does every single person accrue? And what to speak of countless lives. So when one gets something, and so we have this huge, we carry along with us within our subtle body, adhisthaya manasayam vishaya upasevate, based on the mind, but we have this huge, huge bag of karma that we carry with us. It's unlimitedly big, practically speaking, because we've been putting karma in it for so many hundreds of thousands of lives. So we're carrying this with us, and who decides what handful, what portion we get in one particular life? That is the super soul. So even though there is an element of structure and mechanicalness to the attainment of a human birth, but still it happens by the grace of the super soul, and the specific karma we get in a human, in our human birth, is apportioned by the super soul. So who can say that one actually deserves the good thing that happens to one? And who can say, considering how big the bag is, that one doesn't deserve when something unfortunate happens? Who can say? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So if we become attached, if our attachment becomes is to other than Krishna, then there has to be the happiness and the misery of material life, the ups and downs. But one who just sees Krishna's mercy in everything, he is eligible to go to the spiritual world quite naturally. Sanatana Goswami, or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, rather, comments on text 12. The proud man proclaims, so here's another explanation, different from Srila Jiva Goswami's. What did Jiva Goswami say about the farmers and how they get their, they fail to understand how everything is under the control of the Supreme? They create remorse. Okay, so because of his not understanding that that the result is not in my hands, it's ultimately in God's hands. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the proud man proclaims, farming is a lowly job which I cannot do. But when the fields yield abundant crops, he regrets, if I had done some farming, I would get wealth during the rainy season. In this way, the fields give joy to the farmer and pain to the lazy man, because such a person does not understand that his suffering is under the law of karma. Similarly, seeing the man on Nivritti Marg, path of renunciation, attain liberation, the man on the path of sense enjoyment, Pravritti Marg, laments. This example is not attractive to the devotees. 13. As all creatures of the land and water took advantage of the newly fallen rainwater, their forms become attractive and pleasing, just as a devotee becomes beautiful by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord. Abhibram ruchiram rupam yata harina sevaya. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. We have practical experience of this with our students in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Before becoming students, they were dirty looking. Although they had naturally beautiful personal features, but due to having no information of Krishna consciousness, they appeared very dirty and wretched. Since having taken to Krishna consciousness, their health has improved, and by following the rules and regulations, they have increased their bodily luster. When they are dressed with saffron-colored cloth, with tilak on their foreheads and beads in their hands and on their necks, they look exactly as if they have come directly from Vaikuntha. Just imagine the pleasure Prabhupada received when he saw these sometimes crazy and sometimes dirty hippies with their long and straggly hair, not bathing properly, and all kinds of unholy habits, and no principles, and intoxication, and eating meat, and this and that, and this and that. By his instruction and by chanting Hare Krishna, giving up all that and taking to a new life, and then being able to see visibly the change and their effulgence and their looking bright and cheery faced, tilak on, neck beads, and wearing clean saffron cloth, looking so wonderfully, and how Prabhupada must have been so proud of his students and thankful to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for these wonderful teachings. Because these things are actually that which people get pleasure from, materialistic people, is based on things that are terrible for one. They're based on the ignorance, the intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, etc. Meat eating. This is terrible for the health, for the mind. Terrible, terrible, terrible. What to speak of for spiritual life and putting so much in our huge, already full bags that we're carrying from body to body to body of our karma. But terrible for the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. So, and no knowledge. So people don't even have an idea in Kali Yuga what's right and what's wrong. They have a reverse idea, in fact. This is the symptom of viparyatani, the symptom of the mode of ignorance. What is good is thought of as bad. If you tell people that you don't drink or something like that, or don't eat meat when you're at an office social party or something like that, people look at you. You don't go to the pubs, you don't drink, you don't smoke. No, there's sex.
Well, they say, what do you do?
What do you do if you're happy? If you don't eat meat, what do you eat? As if there's nothing else in the world or something like that. And if you tell them you don't have a television in your house, good grief. Of course, most of the devotees wouldn't want to cause the non-devotees grief, even if it's good grief, so therefore they kindly keep televisions in their house, don't they? What does that expression mean, good grief? What is good grief? What's an example of good grief? Huh? That's one for you to think about. Okay, you can. Good grief. Bad grief. Good grief. Sure, that's an optimist for me. Did you read that? His comment on text. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comment on 13 we didn't read. Abhibhran means to take on. Just as one becomes suddenly beautiful in performing devotional service to the Lord, since it is the supreme Dharma and gives the highest results, similarly the forms of animals and plants become attractive in the rainy season. This is a positive example. The plants, the trees look happy, blooming and blossoming, turning green because of the rain. Text 14. Where the rivers joined the ocean, it became agitated, its waves blown about by the wind. Just as the mind of an immature yogi becomes agitated because he is still tainted by lust and attached to the objects of sense gratification. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments on text 14. Short comment. The description of the ocean, even though it is not present here in Sri Vrindavan, is because this description is relating to the characteristics of the rainy season. Or else, just like the ocean, the Sindhu, it is to be understood as referring to the great lake named Kotara, an expansion of the Manasa Ganga, which is present on the western edge of Sri Mathura Mandala. A technical point there. Text 15. Just as devotees whose minds are absorbed in the personality of Godhead remain peaceful, even when attacked by all sorts of dangers, the mountains in the rainy season were not at all disturbed by the repeated striking of the rain-bearing clouds. Purport. When splashed by torrents of rain, the mountains are not shaken, rather they are cleansed of dirt and become resplendent and beautiful. Similarly, an advanced devotee of the Supreme Lord is not shaken from his devotional program by disturbing conditions, which instead cleanses heart from the dust of attachment to this world. Thus the devotee becomes beautiful and resplendent by tolerating difficult conditions. In fact, a devotee accepts all reverses in life as the mercy of Lord Krishna, realizing that all suffering is due to the sufferer's own previous misdeeds, and he takes shelter of Krishna still more deeply, and therefore becomes still more beautiful, even when struck by the lightning and the thunder and the clouds of misfortune. This is an advanced devotee. He just, everything just forces his surrender deeper, more and more and more deeply. This is wonderful. So therefore he's transcendental to the material world. Vitaraga baya krodha manmaya marupashrata bahavo gana tapasa puta mad bhavam agata. Yes? So this is the instruction of Krishna, being free from attachment, fear and anger, just taking shelter of me by this tapasya. And one attains me, mad bhavam, love for me. This is really the test of one's advancement. How much one is always taking shelter of Krishna. Srila Sridhar Swami. So how Sukadeva Goswami is putting so much wonderful philosophy into a beautiful description of the rainy season in Vrindavan. 15. And then we'll read the 16th text and we'll stop. Those whose minds, this is the comment of Sridhar Swami, those whose minds are fixed in adhokshaja, Krishna, this is what's being described, by the rain-bearing clouds, the mountains did not shake because of any excess of rain upon them, but rather by the elimination of dust and so forth, they became resplendent, such as the idea implied. By distresses, obstructions created by disease and so forth, even by those they failed to be disturbed. Since the dormant reaction of one's previous activities must be suffered, even though being disturbed according to the idea of the Bhagavatam 11.4.10, the demigods create many obstructions against those who are trying to serve you. Nevertheless, they did not become agitated. Or else they actually shone forth resplendently because, with the removal of bad karma, they were able to realize special remembrance of the personality of Godhead. Special, deep remembrance. This is deep, not superficial. As Prabhupada said, the ocean is, the Pacific Ocean is peaceful. Why? Because it is deep. Without being deep, we will be disturbed. The opposite of deep is superficial. Superficial body of water, some rain comes, some wind comes, disturbed. But the depths of the ocean are not disturbed. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, Vyasa and I, by dangers, means by the adhyatmika and other kinds of distresses. Adhyatmika means what? Adhibhauti, caused by one's body or other bodies. Adhiatmik is distresses that are caused by one itself, such as the mind and the body, actually. And the other kinds of distresses, because these are dangerous, because their minds are fixed and lauded hokchaja, they do not become agitated. This is stated by the Lord Himself, Bhagavatam 3:25-23. Teachings of Kapila Muni. Because these devotees have their minds fixed exclusively in me, all different kinds of agitations are unable to cause them pain. Exclusively in me, their minds are fixed. Rather, by the increase of their humility, they become completely free from such contaminations as greed and envy. In this way, this analogy is to be accepted as favorable by saintly persons. Quite wonderful, yes? So everything makes an advanced soul more beautiful and more glorious. Its Krishna consciousness is more resplendent. We see that with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj right now, even at this moment. And the incredible difficulties, just the cancers throughout his body, so much pain. Decreasing the medication so his consciousness will be clearer to the minimum. He's jolly, so much pain. He's kind to people, kind to everyone, affectionate, very, very soft-hearted. So his great, so close to death, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, most a week probably now. Weak, can't speak anymore. He's at that stage. His physical body is deteriorating. He's such a strong body before. Deteriorated in the last week tremendously, and still, so this, the most difficult of all difficult circumstances, is made it clearer, his glory, and wondrous devotion, because it just forced him to take shelter more and more deeply, and withdraw any other shelter. Wonderful. And the final verse we'll read. Just as devotees whose... Oh, we just read that one. During the rainy season, the roads, not being cleansed, become covered with grass and debris, and were thus difficult to make out where they are. These roads were like religious scriptures that brahmanas no longer study and thus become corrupted and covered over with the passage of time. I think there's a short comment by Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur in this. Not studying the scriptures is compared to the unclean roads. The roads becoming overgrown with grass and time are like scriptures which become neglected and corrupted when no longer studied by the Brahmins. Okay. Thank you very much. You got a whole thing. And then in the next class of Krishna, we'll finish the descriptions of the rainy season, and then in the next class. there'll be description of Krishna's pastimes in the rainy season. And then it moves to the autumn, the description of autumn. Two more classes on that.